Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in defense of confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. These are the verses just for a moment. Now, before we proceed, I would like to mention two things. First, now we have a handout here. So I would suggest, hopefully everyone should have one. Okay. Now, if it's not too difficult for some brothers and sisters sitting in the side, if possible, if you can move to the central row, that's the best. If for some reason you like to stay there, fine, you are welcome to do so. But hopefully everyone should have the handout, okay? Because we will refer to this from time to time. All right. Now, second thing I would like to ask is this, because we have encouraged brother and sister, at least we should read through this book of Philippians at least 10 times. Now, I don't want to embarrass you, so I don't want you to raise your hand whether you have fulfilled that requirement or not. However, I still like to do some kind of survey. For example, I can ask how many of you have read more than 11? Okay, 11 times. How many of you? All right. And how many of you? 20, more than 20. Over 20? Okay, how about 30? My brother also, right? Yes. 40. My brother was 40. All right. 50?
I don't remember.
So how many times?
You memorized.
All right, good. So this means we will definitely will ask these two brothers and sisters to think about it. 50, think about it. All right, very good. I think definitely this is encouraging for us to know that our brothers and sisters like to spend more time to be with God. Now, this evening, definitely I would like to give you some background to appreciate this book, this letter, Philippians. So I would like I would like to say something as a background. Now first, when we read this letter to Philippians, we discover that this is the most tender letter among all the epistles of Paul. So here we find that the fellowship between Paul and the church in Philippi, the church at Philippi, was such a beautiful one. And you can imagine, you see, how Paul almost poured out his heart. He said, "For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you, all the affection, how long for you, all with the affection of Jesus Christ." Now, Paul also say that for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. See, so when Paul here, you see that the relationship between Paul and the church in Philippi with such a history. Now it's almost 10 years after they first met, after the gospel first time landed in Europe, in that town, Philippi. But now after 10 years later, now we know Paul was in prison in Rome. And now he wrote a letter to those who met in Philippi. Now, when we talk of Philippi, you remember how Paul was imprisoned there and how we heard the wonderful song at midnight, a song of praise offered by Paul and Silas. So you can see that that actually happened 10 years ago. Now, after 10 years later, now this time, for those saints who are in Philippi, now Paul is no longer there. Paul is far, far from them. See, actually Paul was in Rome. He was in prison. And from there he wrote this letter of Philippians. Now, in order to know some background, so we have to mention a little bit about the three missionary journeys of Paul. Now, as you know that Paul's life can be divided to three stages. 11 years, 11 years, another 11 years. Now, first 11 years, now Paul lived a hidden life. So he grew in the presence of God like a tender shoot. But thank the Lord, no, during that hidden years, we see that Paul has accomplished the first stage of his life. And that's 11 years. Then following that, you have another 11 years. And then you discover that, you know, Paul was able to bear the fruit everywhere. And then during the second 11 years, he has had three missionary journeys. He went out to preach gospel from one place to another. Now, actually, we know Paul, when he did that journey, he almost had the whole Asia Minor and also half of Europe. So people calculate the distance of his traveling almost half of the equator, almost. So you can see that how Paul really went out to win the world for Christ. And that's why he made it three missionaries. Now, we have a map here, so in your handout. So let us just do it a little bit carefully, because I want to give you some kind of idea, you see. Now this map is about the second journey. So we talk about the first one. The first one, starting from Antioch. You see, now from Antioch, then Paul and Barnabas, they travel southwest to Cyprus. From Cyprus, then he landed in Turkey, in Asia Minor, a harbor called Perga, actually Attalia. Okay, from Attalia, then he traveled almost 10 miles inland to another harbor called Perga. Now, from Perga, he just traveled north to Antioch, another Antioch. So that's why that's called Antioch of Pisidia. Okay. Then from Antioch, then he traveled east to Iconium, then to Lystra, then to Derbe. Then he come back from Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, then back to Perga, and from there he took the boat back to Antioch again. So that's the first cycle, or this is the first round of his missionary journey. We call it the first missionary journey. Then after a while, then he and Barnabas again start off on another journey. But unfortunately, we know there is some argument there because, you know, Mark, in his first journey, actually he forsook his duty and he went back to Jerusalem. He did not continue with Paul and Barnabas. So Paul suggests that probably we could not take him anymore. But you know, Barnabas always the son of consolation, always try to give other people some other more opportunity. So he thought that he should give Barnabas another opportunity, Mark another opportunity. So then they separated. So now you see how Paul took Silas, and then he traveled. So then he from there he went to Tarsus. Went to Tarsus, and from Tarsus, Tarsus of course was his hometown. Okay, then from there he went through Cilicia, Then from Tarsus to Derbe. So then it actually came back to the city, the town he has visited in his first journey. Then from there, Lystra, and from Iconium, then Antioch. So by this way, he almost covered the cities he visited in his during his first journey. Okay, now he did it again. However, after he finished his journey, after he finished visiting Antioch, then he will ask one question. Now, what next then? All he knew in the beginning was that he should go back to revisit those cities they have been, and they want to know what happened to the churches in these places. And after a few years, definitely the church grow in the Lord. So Paul wants to strengthen them, so he went back to this city. So after he finished his mission, then if you read your Bible, if you read a book of Acts, then you will discover then what next. So by the way, Paul traveled during his second missionary journey. We knew that he did not have a long-range project. Before he started his journey, he never designed that how much budget I need, how far I should go. He didn't know at all. All he know is that God wanted him to revisit those churches. That's all. So after he finished his mission, then he has to ask the Lord, what is next on? So by this way, we know that. Now, when Paul did his missionary journey, he did not, just like what we have done today, with a huge project, with a long-range project, now with some budget already prepared, and also you plan all the sites you're supposed to visit. So according to today's way of preaching the gospel, according to today's way of sending out the missionary, now this is the way. So you can imagine if today Paul tried to apply for any missionary work, I think he definitely will fail. Because first, people will ask you, now, how many money carry with you? Is there any way do you think you can get some support from this place and other place? Second, let me ask you, what is your mind? If you want to go out to preach the gospel, you definitely have a plan. You definitely will tell me that at least you should give me the itinerary. Now, don't tell me that 10 years itinerary, at least 1 year ahead of it, or 2 years. So you see, if you are not fulfilled that requirement, you will never think you will join today's modern mission. Impossible. That just violates some rule. According to some people, you know, gospel preaching is such an enterprise. Gospel preaching is such an important project. You have to think well. You have to plan well. Now, unfortunately, Paul did not have his own plan. And you will be very surprised. You see, when he started the journey, and he only knew that much. We have to go back to revisit the saints and try to strengthen them. That's all. Now, after they finish their mission, what next? So, because of that, now Paul had tried so-called trial and error method. He did not know the will of God. And he did not know that what should be the next step. So in the beginning, he thought that from Antioch, he should travel southwest toward Asia Minor, especially Ephesus, in that area. You see, Colossae, and in that area. But we were told that we were told that the Spirit of Jesus does not permit. And then, instead of going this way, then he tried to go another extreme. That means you cannot go south, then let me go north. So he tried to, he went to the direction of Bithynia. Now, if he really went that direction, finally, the gospel should be landed at Russia today. But somehow, he didn't do that. So, Holy Spirit also forbid him to do that. So you see, now, Paul's trip, Paul's journey was not guided by his own plan, was guided by the Holy Spirit. So now when he want to go, where is the final destiny, before he does that, he just followed the direction of the Holy Spirit. So what he did is that he never passed it. If he did not know, he did not stop there doing nothing. No, he still proceed. So that's the way for us to learn how to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Never be passive. You see? We want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But now, how you're going to listen to that inner still small voice? So now he just make a determination, want to go to Asia Minor, but now Jesus Spirit say no. And then when he tried to go the direction of Black Sea again, Holy Spirit say no. So there's no other way. He has to go straight. So by that way, finally, he reached a place called Troas. Now, Troas means he already come to the Aegean Sea. See, he already come to the coast, and then something happened. Now, as you know very well, now in the at night, and now Paul saw a vision. There was a Macedonian try to cry out, plead with Paul to come and help them. So then, next day, I think we better read, or if you read that portion of the Bible, you know very well. And so, not only Paul decided to go to Macedonia, and also we. So in the book of Acts, we come to a very important we section. What do you mean by we? We means not only Paul, also Luke, the author of the gospel, the book of Acts. So now here you find that not only Paul is trying to go to Macedonia, and also Luke. So most likely, Paul met Luke in Troas. Now, according to Dr. Ramsey, he really believed that now the vision, the man Paul saw in the vision must be Luke himself. Because Luke actually came from Philippi. He actually was Macedonian. So most likely, exactly in Troas, and then Paul really met Luke. And then now they traveled together. Finally, the gospel landed in Philippi. That's the first stop in Europe. So remember, this is the first landing of the gospel on the soil of Europe. So that's something. This really is something unique and something very new. Now, remember, in the plan of Paul, he never dreamed of he will bring the gospel landed in Philippi. No, that's what not in his dream. That's what not in the program. In the beginning, he only knew that he would like to visit those old places to meet the old friends, to strengthen those saints. That's all. And of course, when he passed by Lystra, he was able to take Timothy with him, to travel with him. But then Because by the leading of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit said no and no and no, now he really followed that, you see. So then finally, by this way, finally, he reached Troah. Then in his vision, he received the past confirmation. Now he know that, actually, why Holy Spirit say no to Ephesus? Why say no to Black Sea? Very simple. Because Holy Spirit has an idea. Holy Spirit has a plan, has a project. He want Paul bring the gospel to Europe. And now the gospel really landed in Philippi. So that's why we have this book of Philippians. Because remember 10 years ago, and Paul met some of them. And especially remember he first met Lydia, and beside a river, small river. Now, by that time, there was no synagogue. And so there's only a place for prayer, to pray together. So then Paul preached the gospel to them. So then we remember Lydia became the first fruit in Europe. And then from there, the door of the gospel to Europe was open. So that happened 10 years ago. Now, 10 years later, Paul was in the prison in Rome. So he wrote a letter from the prison in Rome to the place he had been put also in prison 10 years ago. So that's Philippi. So now that's how Paul finally being led to Philippi and then start the testimony. Now, from here, I think we are able to derive some very important principles. You see, how do we know the God's will? For example, even in this gospel preaching, even in this missionary journey, Paul has his own plan. He definitely learned how to be guided by the Holy Spirit. So first, you see, he really listened to that still small voice. And sometimes that voice always say no. Now, my brother, sister, are you willing to obey that no? So this way, Paul has been cornered. You see, neither Philippi, neither Ephesus, nor in the direction of Black Sea. Finally, he was cornered. He was directed to Troas. Why? Because according to God's purpose, God has a wonderful plan. Later, you will know that. Actually, everything was done according to God's plan. If you do not see that plan, if you do not see that blueprint, you are not able to understand this letter, even only 4 chapters. So we have to see everything according to God's plan and according to God's purpose. Now, by being led by the Holy Spirit, on the one hand, of course, we should learn how to be guided by the Holy Spirit. You see, if you against the Holy Spirit, then you always end up in trouble. You always end up in misery. But if we really follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we've always been blessed. Now, we are talking about our individual life. But when God tries to direct our life, now the purpose is this. Finally, we will live a life not according to our will, but according to His will. And finally, you will see our whole life will be directed according to His plan, not our plan. But you never know that plan in the beginning, no. But until you really learn how to believe and obey. If you really learn the lesson of obeying the Holy Spirit, then gradually your eyes will be open. So, before we study this wonderful letter, now let's try to learn this story. Let's try to learn this experience of Paul. Because everybody knows that the experience in Philippians is the deepest experience in the whole Bible. Now, there are many experiences Paul has experienced. But remember, all these deeper experiences start from some very basic experience. So, brother, sister, anyone who can be led by the Holy Spirit is a son of God. That means must only mature ones know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. So in the beginning, it was very simple. By Holy Spirit saying no to Paul, so this way and that way, finally, Paul has no other way. The only way is that just go straight to Troas. And then while you are in Troas, then Holy Spirit really, then he really received the positive, so now God opened his eye. Then he saw he really saw the Macedonian in that vision. So by this way, he knows that, oh, now I understand the God's will for me, why God did not permit me to go here and there. Because what God's purpose is in Philippi. Because the purpose of the work of God, all he wants is related to Philippi. So that's what happened. So from this story, we should be able to derive something very important. That is, by follow his leading, now gradually the Lord will open our eyes. Now, he not only guide us. Important thing is that he has a plan. Now, finally, you will be able to enter his plan. And then in the beginning, you think you are very small. You know, you never think big. But somehow, if you really follow him faithfully, then it end up always something big. That's really beyond your imagination. That's really beyond your expectation. So, brother, sister, are we ready for that? Now, from Paul's second journey, we learn something very important lesson. That is, how did he know the will of God? First, of course, by listening to the word of God. And then, but only when we learn how to obey those voices. Now, when Holy Spirit says no and stop sign, that means in the beginning, we all learn stop at the stop sign. Now, that's the first lesson we should learn. Now, if we really learn that lesson, then we are able to see something positive. So some people, they want to know, I want to know immediately what is God's will. It's almost impossible because you never had a good experience. You have to learn how to stop before the stop sign. Then you are able to be led by the Holy Spirit in a very positive way. You know, this way, then our eyes will be open. So when Holy Spirit really show you something positive, definitely there is a word from heaven. So on one hand, we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, we need the light from the word of God. So when you combine these two together, you not only know that you should stop at the stop before the stop sign. Also, now you know why. What is the real purpose? What is the real destiny we should go? In the beginning, you did not know about it, and then only through the positive revelation, then we know. Oh, that's Philippi. That's Macedonia. So I think that's very important. But even that, brothers and sisters, now you see that in order to know the will of God, you not only need the Holy Spirit, you not only need the Bible, you also need the body of Christ. You also need other brothers and sisters. So that's why, you know, when Paul saw the vision, but Luke and all his workers all feel the same feeling that we should go to Macedonia. So to know the will of God, brothers and sisters, now, you can never act alone. Yes, sometimes you stop before the stop sign. Sometimes you know the God's will from the word. Yes, that's positive revelation. But remember, in order to play safe, now we also need a confirmation from other members of the body of Christ. Sometimes even your parents, sometimes even your children, sometimes even your wife or husband. But no matter what, brothers and sisters, you can never live alone. And especially If we want to know the will of God, now even Paul was so great, but now he needed confirmation from Luke, from other co-workers who really traveled with him. So that's number three. Number four, it only when he reached Troas, then he met Luke. Now, why Luke was so important? Luke was a physician. Luke was a doctor. Now, Paul never cared about himself. Paul never took very good care of his own body. But according to the Bible, if our body is for the Lord, then the Lord is for our body. Now today we spend so much time and energy to take care of our own body. But then it makes us so nervous, it makes us so sensitive, oversensitive, and now, brother, sister, it won't work at all. So the secret is this, just like Paul. Now, what you want, what your aim is to preach the gospel, you live for the Lord, your body is for the Lord. Then, sooner or later, the Lord will be for your body. So think about it. When Paul really reached Troas, now Paul knows that. Now Paul cannot travel alone. He needs a personal physician. He needs someone like Luke to travel with him. So brothers and sisters, and then at Troas, he met Luke. So that's the confirmation from the environment. What does that mean? That means in order to travel to Europe, now Paul need much help. Now, at that time, Paul, actually, he's not very good in his eyesight. Most likely, he had a cataract. So he almost half blind when he was doing the traveling. So he definitely needs someone to take very good care of him. He never prayed for that. He never asked for that. For the gospel, he almost forgot everything. He almost neglected his body. But thank the Lord. Now you see, when he reached Troas, now Luke was there. And Luke not only was there, remember in his last trip, and he was in chain, and from Caesarea, from Caesarea there, and you remember, he as a prisoner, and he had to travel all the way in the ship, and later even got a shipwreck. Now, according to the law at that time, no one is supposed to travel with him, but of course, according to law, there are two vacancies. That means there are two persons should be allowed to travel with him, but on one condition, these two persons should make themselves a slave. They should give up their freedom. Now, one of them is we know very well. Another one is Luke. Now, Luke was a free man. Luke was a physician. But in order to take care of Paul, he's willing to give up his own freedom. He definitely traveled with Paul, even went through shipwreck and many hardship. So remember, brothers and sisters. Now, how do you know that to go to Philippi, to preach the gospel to Macedonia is the will of God? Very clear. You see, first, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Second, revelation from the Word. The third, confirmation from the body of the Christ. And also, we need confirmation from the environment. And then, when you put these four factor together, now we know that Paul knew the will of God. So this is the same way also applied to you and to me. So before we come to Philippi, remember behind that is a story of being led by the Holy Spirit. It's a story, how do we know the will of God? Now we have to learn that lesson. Only so then when we reach Philippi, then later after 10 years, Paul reached Rome. Gradually, you see, the experience of Paul is getting deeper and deeper. So, but anyway, you have to start from something very basic. So the basic is very simple. Before this book of Philippi, before this letter to Philippians, now you see there was a story of how Paul was being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, if we only stop here, now the story becomes very simple because Paul has a work to do. He wants to preach the gospel. Now God lead him all the way to Philippi. So as simple as that. But if we really go deeper and if we really see what happened all the way, then you will find something very, very interesting. Now, why Troas first? Then the second stop is Philippi. The third stop is Thessalonica. And later, Berea. So Berea, Thessalonica, and also Philippi is all belong to Macedonia, that part. Okay? You know, Greek island, the Greek peninsula, the southern part is Athens and also Corinth. Now, northern part is Macedonia. So you have Philippi, you have Thessalonica, and also Berea. Now, very interesting, brothers and sisters. Now, something you just cannot imagine. Now, why God used this vessel, Paul? Very simple. Because Paul was a man of the world. He embraces three worlds. He is Hebrew of Hebrew. So he definitely embraced the religious world of Hebrew. And then he also embraced the cultural world of Greek. And then he also embraced the political and military world of Rome. So now you can see that on one hand, he definitely is Hebrew among Hebrews. And also, he was brought up in Tarsus. So definitely, and that town, that's Tarsus actually is the university town of in the Greek world. Three very important ones, Alexandria and also Athens and also Tarsus. And Tarsus is very, very famous because of medicine there. So now you can imagine, and Paul was brought up in that kind of big city, in a cultural city. And then he also was a Roman citizen. As if within one passport, he was able to travel from one end of the empire to the other end. So by this way, he was able to bring the gospel to everyone. Now, why God especially had chosen such a vessel? I already mentioned because he is a man of three worlds. So you need a man of three worlds to bring the gospel to the three worlds. Now, that actually is the program of God. You remember, do you remember in chapter 1 of chapter of Book of Acts? Now you remember there is a program. Now you see before the Pentecost. Now actually, Holy Spirit already has a program in His mind. Now the Lord will send His disciple out, starting from Jerusalem, then finally the end of the earth. Now, at that time, if you reach Rome, you already reach the end of the earth. So the program is starting from Jerusalem. Finally, definitely, you'll reach Rome. That's exactly the span of Book of Acts. Book of Acts, starting from center, Jerusalem, it end up in Rome. So then how the Lord is going to perform, how our Lord is going to do such a work according to His own program. And Paul as a missionary, Paul as a Christian worker, he is supposed to fit the God's program, not His own program. God has program starting from Jerusalem and up in the end of the earth. So now you see that all the workers of God definitely follow God's way and finally fit into that program. And eventually, now God definitely will finish his work. So by this way, you can see how God, how Paul was fitting in such a grand program, with such a big project. Now, everything starting from the cross. You remember how Lord Jesus died on the cross. And because of that, he has accomplished the work of salvation. But remember, while he was crucified, there was a three language above his head, saying that he is the King of the Jews. Three languages. Latin, Hebrew, and Greek. So what does that mean? That three languages actually represent the three worlds. Now Hebrew stands for the religious world of Hebrew. And Latin represents the political and military world. And Greek represents the cultural world. So what does that mean? It means that the religious world of Hebrew plus the cultural world of Greek and plus the military and the political world of Rome, when they join together, now that's the world. That's the world which really crucified our Lord. That's why you see three languages to announce to the world that now it is this world who crucified our Lord and put him to death. So that's clear. So we know that it is this world who crucified our Lord. However, because according to the Lord, according to the Bible, when he's lifted up, he will draw all men to him. In other words, even he was crucified, but now he's going to draw the whole world to him. So how he was able to draw his whole world to him, that's why we have four Gospels. You have a Gospel of Matthew being sent to the Jews, religious world of Hebrew. And then you have a Gospel of Luke being sent to the cultural world of Greek. So that's Gospel of Luke. And then also you have another book being addressed to Romans. That's Gospel according to law, according to Mark. So you see, brothers and sisters, when this world crucified our Lord, but now when our Lord be lifted up, and he definitely should draw the whole world to himself. So by this way, the whole world should be evangelized. But remember, how do you embrace the whole world? How do you know this world? It is the religious world of Hebrew and cultural world of Greek, and also the political and the military world of Rome. When you put this all together, that's the world. That's how our Lord being crucified. But thank the Lord. Now, after our Lord being risen, now the gospel should be able to preach everywhere. Now, for that reason, our Lord has to get a very important vessel. Only Paul fulfilled that requirement because he is the man of three worlds. So by this way, our Lord wants him as a vessel to bring the gospel from Jerusalem all the way to the end of the earth. So that's why the Lord called, Paul as his servant. So now you see, now God is able to entrust him with such a wonderful work, important work, to evangelize the whole world, to win the world for Christ. Now how? That's God's program, you see? Now, when Paul went out to travel, he never had that in his mind. He only knew that, now I have to visit these brothers and sisters. After that, now we have to see. Now, bit by bit, he gradually know, finally he reached Troas. Then from Troas, then he sees something, he should visit Philippi. Now that's what happened to his individual life. But remember, before God chose Paul, he already knew that how he's going to use Paul. Because Paul, as a world man, he subdued the gospel, is supposed to be preached to the end of the world through Paul. So definitely in the beginning, starting from Jerusalem, that's what happened to Paul. You see, that's how Paul began his journey, starting from Jerusalem. Then brothers, sisters, he should be able to reach that part belong to the culture of Greeks, Greek culture world. And then finally, now the gospel should reach the heartland of Roman Empire. So, brothers, sisters, in the beginning, you see, he probably never had that in his mind. He never had that in his mind. But gradually the Lord brought him to that plan, wonderful plan. So how do we know the Lord was leading him to that direction? First, Troas originally is called the Troas Alexander. So we know that this definitely is a city connected with Alexander the Great. Now, Alexander the Great, he is the one who began the whole thing. He is the one who conquered the world at that time. That's why you have a Greek Empire. So you see, brothers and sisters, in the beginning, he only satisfied in gospel preaching in Jerusalem, even Asia Minor. In his program, his mind never entertained a thought that he will reach that part of the world. But remember, if you want to conquer the world, not only the religious world of the Hebrew, but also the culture of Greek. Now, culture of Greek definitely started with the Greek Empire. So now, brother, sister, gradually he entered into the territory of Greek Empire. Starting from Troas, then Philippi. Why Philippi? Philippi actually is his father. His father is called Philippi the Second. And through Philippi, he was able to unite the whole Greek. Because you see, in the beginning, now, every city is a country. It's a nation. So through Philippi the Second, he was able to unify the Greece. And how he was able to do it? Now, let me show you an important picture here. If you turn to this picture, okay? Now, if you turn to this picture, now here you have Philippi, here you have the ancient site of Philippi. Still some ruin there. But then, do you see that if you look east, southeast, you will find mountain. You will find mountain there. Now, that mountain is a very famous one. It's called Mountain Panju. Now, Mountain Panju is where you can get the gold mines and also silver mines. Now, the gold was so rich. So finally, that really provided Philippi the Second to unite the whole Greece. And not only that, the money is still so rich. Now the father is able to pass on the gold to Alexander the Great, his son. So finally, Alexander the Great was able to conquer the world and then build a Greek empire. Now remember, the Greek empire was made by gold. Now where they got the gold? Near Philippi. You see? So near Philippi, you have this mountain, Panju, and that's where the gold mine came from. So now unconsciously, Paul was preaching the gospel to the cradle of Greek Empire. That's the beginning of everything. Can you believe that? That's really beyond the dream of Paul. And then later, of course, he moved to Thessalonica. Thessalonica actually is the sister of Alexander the Great. So then later Berea. So if you travel these three places, if gospel reached these three places, or let me put it this way, when the gospel conquered these places, when the gospel being reached to these places, what does that mean? Originally, you know, this is the dark place. Originally, they were under dominion of Satan. Originally, you can understand that this is where you find the power of darkness. Finally, now the light gospel of God, the light of gospel was able to shine in that part of the world. So finally conquered that part of the world. So some people suggested anyone who is able to conquer Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, he is able to conquer Macedonia. That's according to Greek militant. That's what they said. So Paul never had the intention to conquer Macedonia. But somehow, brothers and sisters, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, gradually Paul was getting involved with that grandeur plan beyond his expectation. So, brothers and sisters, so by this way, he really entered into the territory of the Greek Empire, the cradle of Greek Empire. So that's 10 years ago. 10 years later, he became a prisoner. He was with chain. He thought that's the end of it because he was put in a Roman prison. But brothers and sisters, by this way, the gospel really entered into the heartland of a Roman Empire. First, the religious world of Hebrew, then the cultural world of Greek, then finally political and military world of Rome. So, brother, sister, by this way, Paul finally conquered the world for Christ. So you see, brother, sister, you cannot imagine how this could happen. Paul never had that in his mind. But when God wanted to use Paul, he know how to choose a vessel. He know here is a vessel who has embraced through three worlds. Now with him, now gospel should be able to reach finally to Rome. So, brothers, sisters, when Paul wrote the letter of Rome, this Philippian, now the gospel already been reached to the heartland of Roman Empire. From the beginning, Philippi, from the Greek world to Roman Empire, 10 years. So remember, brother, sister, when Paul was written in his prison, wrote to the church in Philippi, brother, sister, here you find a story, almost 10 years. And through these 10 years, Paul two times has been put in prison. But the gospel never being trapped. Gospel actually is even being further, even being preached more and more. So, brother, sister, with this background, we are able to appreciate this wonderful letter. And why Paul has given and have written this letter? Very simple. Because if you know this background, now we understand that now from Philippi to Rome, it is from the Greek world to Roman, to the Roman world. Now, let me try to explain something more. If you talk about the world, if you really go to the Old Testament, if you go to the book of Daniel, when you talk about the world, you talk about four empires. First, you have a Babylonian Empire, then you have Persian Empire, then you have a Greek Empire, then you have a Roman Empire. Now, why in that cross only talk about Greek and Roman Empire? Because that's the time when Jesus was crucified. Definitely Roman Empire. Now, even Rome has conquered the world, but the Greek culture conquered Roman Empire. So that's why the culture is still the Roman and also Greek. So when you talk of the world, definitely now the Babylonian Empire already went to history, and also Persia also went to history. So when Jesus was crucified, now remember, definitely only two empires left. But something very interesting, brothers and sisters, if we really see what happened in the light of the book of Daniel, then you are able to see what is the message, why we have this wonderful message given by letter to Philippians. Very simple. So let me try to explain a little bit more here. Now, when you talk about Philippi, you not only talk about Greek, actually you talk about the beginning of Roman Empire. Why? Because when you look at this mountain, now you know that actually this whole area in the ancient time was marshland. It's all wet, marshland. So it's very difficult for you to move from one place to another. But anyway, the whole place is marshland. Only, I think, about 1930, then it drained up. It become what we have today. But in the ancient time, in the old time, it's a marshland. Now this Philippi, if you look east, now you see that's called Mount Pendra. But now if you turn to another map, if you go to this map, if you see this map, now this map is give you some idea of Philippi, okay? Now, in the northern part is a higher place. It's called Acropolis, okay? It's uptown. So then you find that there is a highway called Ignatia Highway. That's Roman Highway. See this one? Or this one, Roman Highway. So split this Philippi into two parts. And then if you see, so now you see this north, this is the west, okay? Then, of course, that golden mountain is here. Now, in 42 before Christ, if I remember correctly, there was a very decisive battle. Now, you know, there are two murderers of Emperor Julius Caesar. Finally, had a battle with Octavian and Antony, Mark Antony. So now this battle is very decisive one, because now the murderers of Julius Caesar, they have their camp near here and also this side. And then here you find a field of marshland. And then, you know, at the foot of that golden mountain, you have this camp which belonged to Octavian and also belonged to Mark Antony. And so finally, after this decisive battle, now that's the birth of Roman Empire. So remember, either Greek Empire or Roman Empire all begin with Philippi. So, brothers and sisters, is this just accident? Definitely not. Why the God send out that Macedonian vision? Why in that vision, Paul saw that Macedonian say, come and help us? Now, brothers and sisters, you know very well, definitely Holy Spirit is behind it. Definitely God's plan is behind it. What God want is that now the gospel should reach this place. What does that mean? Now, that's the beginning of the gospel in Europe, yes. But that's also the beginning of both Greek Empire and also Roman Empire. So you see, brothers and sisters, when you talk about world, when you talk about the gospel reaching to the world, the same thing. You know, how this Roman Empire conquered the world, how they conquered the world. But then you see that the gospel definitely will conquer also Greek Empire and Roman Empire. So that's what happened, you see, brothers and sisters. When we try to appreciate this letter to Philippians, we have remember this is exactly the story behind it. So unconsciously, Paul was brought entering into a wonderful project. If you read the history, that's how Roman Empire and Greek Empire begin. And Greek Empire, Roman Empire, they come from this side of Greek Sea. And Babylonian Empire and Persian Empire, they are from this side of Greek Sea. You see? The four beasts all come from the Great Sea. But remember, when our Lord Jesus was crucified, it is something to do with the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire. So you see, brothers and sisters, now when Jesus Christ was being lifted up, now when the gospel is going out to conquer the world, now remember how you have this, the Greek Empire and Roman Empire, the same way you see the gospel starting from there. So that's 10 years ago. Now 10 years later, Paul was put in prison as if now the enemy has upper hand. As if now somehow this round of battle, enemy as if has won the battle. No. You see, when you see Paul was in prison, as if he couldn't do anything, but thank the Lord. Now Paul is able to discover. Now all his